Okay. Listen to this, Rick. Do I have another Vizo ad coming up today? Talking to myself.
No.
I don't? You're sure about that?
I've already given them like six ads today.
I'm just saying Let me read this email. Rick, I feel your pain. There's only one store I found here that sells Vizo. I bought them out in 5 days. That was 4 days ago. No, listen to how it just dissolves into anger. No effing refills yet. I am going to kill someone. The email is dissolving
into
all caps.
That's how you
are. P.S. It's great. Big Vizo love. All right. There you go. Big.
I went to ground control the other day.
I'm sorry?
I went to ground control the other day, yeah. And one of the employees was drinking it.
Fantastic. All right, 503-733. We're not being... The emails just came in. I'm not fabricating. This is the people. They got the love. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to a local blogger, Chris Sneeven, who has created a website whose name I probably shouldn't say on the air right now because it is now time to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. I don't have any appropriate... Do we have any appropriate music?
Oh.
It's not hideous? Or awkward in any way?
Nope.
Do you have Storm Ladylike?
No.
Oh.
Who wants to whistle? Thank you. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. From Rockstar Supernova. Now, from day one, we've been talking about this program, and there's everybody who listens to this show, and there's been ups and downs, and there's been some anger, some shouting, some seething, some loathing, some threats. But from day one, everybody has talked about the Rockstar Supernova house band and how great they are. The best part, by the way, is right on the front of the drum kit where it just says, like in sort of the Beatlesque font, house band in big letters. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the drummer from the Rockstar Supernova house band, Mr. Nate Morton. Nate, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
And I introduce
We're
you.
We're so excited to talk to you.
I introduce you correctly because Scotty has actually typed on the screen, and I'm Nate Diggity Dog. That's what Scotty has. Scotty has typed that here. So I don't know if that was like
what
your
emails say.
Yeah, that's what it said, like on your business card or something. If like that's Mr. Diggity Dog to you, but
exactly.
Well, first of all, congratulations on being part of such a great band. We got a lot of guys who listen to the show that are musicians in bands or people who just appreciate music, and we'll talk about the show itself here in a moment and kind of how things are unrolling. But a great band, and you guys always, no matter who's singing, no matter what they're doing, you guys always sound really good. And that's that's not just cheap flattery, I mean, it's really true. You guys, it's amazing how good you guys are, especially given the fact that, let's say right about now, there's, seven people left?
Seven now.
I think so, yeah.
So, when you guys are doing Rockstar Supernova, you have, let's say there's 10 people left. There's a couple ways. There's 10 people left. They're all doing a song, which you guys tape on a Sunday, the performance episode. There's 10 songs, and then they all got to be prepared to be in the bottom three. So that's, are you guys having to learn like 20 songs a week?
You know, it's about that. At the beginning of the season, we kind of had a little bit of a heads up of some of the songs that we might see. So in about 2 weeks prior to the season starting, we learned close to 80 songs.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of funny when I look back at it and kind of think about the sheer volume between last season and this season. I'm sure we're getting close to maybe 300-400 songs.
Now, I will apologize and tell you that I did not watch it last season because of I was just not a huge NXS fan and da 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 da. And so are you guys the same band though that backed the search for the NXS singer last year?
Same band, yes, same band, and we benefit from that. I mean, we in terms of how the band sounds and the band being very tight and so on and so forth, we benefit from, collectively having probably 130 years worth of musical experience between the five of us, and then we benefit from, this now being our second go-round and having spent, you know, a lot of time together playing and a lot of time in the rehearsal space learning tunes and, you know, hanging and all that. So it's, you know, it's a really good situation. I wouldn't accept a challenge like this without being, you know, surrounded by such remarkable musicians.
I was talking to Nate Morton. He drums for the Supernova, Rockstar Supernova house band. Had you guys ever played together before last season, or did they just pick you all out of a bunch of hopefuls, or how did the band come together?
It was an audition. It was an LA audition. We all auditioned. Some of us in different groups, some of us together. Paul, our musical director, and Sasha, our bass player, auditioned in the band together. And then actually Sasha, our bass player, and Jim, our sort of multi-instrumentalist, also auditioned in another group together, and then I auditioned in a band that was outside of that, and as did Hoffa, I believe. But we were then all selected from the different groups that we auditioned in, and they sort of put us together as a band. And I had actually played with Sasha, the bass player, who is hands down one of the most solid bass players I've ever played with in my entire life. But I played with Sasha. He and I toured together for about a year with Vanessa Carlton. She's a pop piano player, singer, songwriter.
Is Vanessa Carlton the one that she do White Houses? Or is that somebody else?
That was the last, I think, single.
Yeah, that's a great song. Okay. So my wife, I think, was playing that album a lot when it came out. I would be remiss if I did not read this email. We have a friend of ours named Kristen who is the part of the show and watches. We have viewing parties for Rockstar Supernova every week. And when she heard that I was going to be talking to you today, the subject line is, it says, Nate Morton hookup. And then it says, you must now give Nate, and this sounds like one email, and then it sort of becomes a different email. She says, you have to give Nate my phone number, .. to give to Raphael, because he needs to be mine.
Ouch.
So she's going through you to get to Raphael, the guitar player.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I have noticed that they tend to put all the hot girls, maybe they only let hot girls in, or maybe they just put them right down towards the front of the stage.
No comment.
Okay, thank you.
So I will
say this. You know what I will say in response to that? I will say that there's something that has become loosely termed the Tommy Lee factor.
Uh-huh.
And the audience look a little bit different this year.
Does Tommy Lee do the Van Halen thing of sending the roadie out there to give the backstage, row 5, second from the left, give her this pass?
Well, I don't think so, no.
That sounds like I know more than I can say, Rick.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's okay.
Yeah.
I understand what happens in Rockstar Supernova. Some of it stays in Rockstar Supernova because we talked to Storm. We've known Storm for a lot of years, and that's why we're not typically fans of the reality genre on our program. But having known Storm, and then when we heard when she actually announced it on our show that she was going to be doing Rockstar Supernova, and we just became zealots for this overnight. And it's funny because when we talked to her, you can literally feel over the phone the presence of a person from CBS there with their finger on the kill button. Just wait.
Well, you know, it is a little bit of a different entity being on television, and there are more sort of factors involved than just doing a live club show where you can pretty much, you know, say or do anything you want to on the stage. So yeah, we do have to be sort of cognizant of that, but it's not by any means a police state or anything like that. So
well, with that in mind, then we're going to ask a whole bunch of questions which you may or may not be able to answer. And of course, you can just kind of, if you're not able to talk about something, that's, we would be remiss though if we did not ask you these as well. Which is I guess our first question is,
yeah.
I mean, from watching last night's elimination episode, which is when Zaira was asked to go home, and the elimination songs were Celebrity Skin and Creep, and Zaira sang, what was it, Blue October? Was that the name of the...
Right. The group is Blue October. The song is called Razor Blade.
And so my question is, Celebrity Skin by Hole and Creep by Radiohead, those have already come up at least once before, so my question is, are they really given a free hand to pick anything they want for the elimination episode? Because it does seem very coincidental.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they are. Sometimes, you know, if you happen to see a show, okay, for example, the elimination songs were actually chosen at the beginning of the season.
Really?
So, yes, and they're chosen from a list of hundreds of songs that are cleared by, you know, CBS and
licensing,
you know, people for us to play.
Sure.
It has to get cleared by the publishing company and so on and so forth. So they're presented with a list of hundreds of songs, and it's like, okay, here, you know, you choose an elimination song from these songs. Zaira's song was a tune called Razor Blade by Blue October, which, you know, I think that she kind of went, you know, sort of off the map a little bit for that one, but then we were able to get it cleared. She kind of said, oh, well, this is the song I want to do. Can you get this song cleared? And it was able to be cleared. But, yeah, it's purely coincidental that we happened to have done them on the show before.
When you guys rehearse with somebody for an elimination song or for whatever, to what extent did they sort of dictate what the arrangement's going to be. In other words, if somebody, and I'm not going to use any specific examples, Zaira, if somebody is pushing for an arrangement of a song or something that's just going to sound terrible, do you guys just, you just kind of shut your mouth and do it exactly the way they want? Or do you ever just say, like, this is a bad idea?
Both. We are definitely interacting. The phrase, this is a bad idea, definitely gets used. The phrase, this is not really what the author of this song had in mind, also has been used on a couple of occasions.
Really?
But, you know, at the end of the day, this is not really about us. It's about the contestants, and it's about their, you know, minute and 47 seconds to be on the stage that week and sort of show Supernova what they've got. So if they feel like, you know, playing, Stairway to Heaven as a polka.
Right.
Then, you know, and that's what they really feel like is going to be the best representation, then we've got to make Stairway to Heaven sound like a kick-ass polka, you know? And there have been times where we have maybe said, maybe this won't work, and then surprised ourselves and come up with something that actually does work and is actually well-received. There have been other times where we said, this won't work, and then, you know, got on stage and found out, hey, that didn't work.
Yeah.
We're
talking to Nate Morton, the drummer for the house band on Rockstar Supernova. So have there been any performances that you're just back there and you're playing away and you're just cringing? You're just thinking to yourself, this is just bombing right here in front of God and everybody.
You know, let me just say that I haven't agreed with all the musical decisions. And one in particular, at the beginning of the season, this is so bad. I can't. Chris, unfortunately, Chris's arrangement of Roxanne
right.
was less than stellar. But, you know, again, and that was a situation where we sort of tried to steer it back towards something a little bit, for lack of a better term, better. And he basically, you know, grabbed the reins and said, this is where we're going with this. And so we had to do our best to put it forward. And, you know, we all saw how that turned out.
So maybe the $64,000 question at this point for us, and especially for us here in Portland, is what did you think of Storm's arrangement of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive? Because she got reamed for that.
She did get reamed. You know, I'm a little bit biased because I really like Storm a lot, so I'd be hard-pressed to say anything bad about her. I thought it was a great performance. I thought it was a great vocal performance, and I think that if you saw both Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday she was sort of, you know, railed on for her performance, and then Wednesday, you know, Dave Navarro sort of elaborated a bit further on what, you know, what his intent was and sort of said, you know, you have a great voice and you sang it great. I just didn't enjoy the rendition of the song. I didn't have any problems with it. I thought she did great. I think that the song, you know, as it was presented, had a little bit of a kitschy sort of tongue-in-cheek humor to it
right.
that I thought she got. And, you know, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Do you think the Supernova guy, well, let me back up a question, actually. When, talking to Nate Morton, who's the drummer for the house band on Rockstar Supernova, when they get ready, because obviously America votes, and then there's the bottom three and whatever, and then Supernova at the end picks one or one time two people to kick off.
Right.
Do the Supernova guys, which is Gilby and Tommy and Jason and, first of all, does Dave Navarro get a vote in that?
Is he just the executive producer?
Who knows? Does Dave Navarro get a voice in that?
You know, that's a good question. I think that Dave's input is, you know, invited, but I'm not sure that he actually has a say. I don't know for certain.
Does Supernova ever talk to you guys about that?
No, not during their actual sort of final decision-making, no.
During the...
We're kind of...
I'm sorry.
Milling around, biting our nails, trying to, you know, wondering what's going to happen next.
During the early process, when you guys were putting this show together and they were sort of assembling this second season of the show, at that point, how early on did you start seeing the hopefuls, the people that were maybe, as they went from whatever, 25,000 down to 100, down to the original 15 or 13, whatever it was, when did you start meeting people who were maybe going to be on the show?
We, as the house band, we're called in when they narrow it down to 60. Mm-hmm. And then they fly in 60 people from around the world to Los Angeles, and they audition down those 60 people down to the remaining 15 who will actually appear on the show.
All right, then. So do you know, and we say hoping, I guess, so do you know what Storm's elimination song will be should she end up in the bottom three?
You know what? It's changed. It was... Let's see, what is she? She just changed it to something, and now I'm completely blanking. But in theory, we know it, yes. But I can't
remember
for the life of me what it is right now, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You're torturing
me. You're torturing her. You're killing us. Killing me. Oh, the agony. You did that intentionally. You were just stringing us along. All right. Well, I guess my final question is, Dave Navarro looks like he smells pretty bad.
Dave Navarro is actually very aromatic.
Really? Is it sort of like
an... Because he never has clothes constraining him.
Is it like an incense kind of a thing, or is it sort of like a patchouli kind of a thing? He looks like he looks like he has a powerful funk coming off of him, and I don't mean musically. I mean, it's just a speculation. Maybe I'm wrong about that. If you had to,
you know, I'll inquire because we actually our dressing room's neighbor, so I'll have to inquire next time.
All right, can you tell us anything that we don't already? Is there anything you can tell us about what's coming up? Anything about what is going to happen? Do you have your own speculation about how this is all going to turn out? Do you have any idea who the band is going to pick?
Oh, that one I have no idea. Very interesting, actually, because the whole thing is basically about a learning curve. And you start with 15 people, and whoever can ascend the learning curve the steepest, or the quickest, rather, sort of, you know, comes out on top at the end. Because, you know, but I would point out, this is something that you didn't see last season, but last season, J.D. Fortune, who won, barely made it through the first episode. He was actually in danger of going home, you know, week one, and then made it through. And because he was able to accelerate, you know, the learning curve right, faster than anyone else, essentially, and learned how to play the game, he, in the end, won. So with respect to that question, you know, the people who are left, it's all about how quickly they can sort of prevail over the other, how quickly they can sort of assess what is desired from Supernova and, you know, hopefully, may the best man or woman win.
I have to make one other final comment here, and if you can't sort of respond to this, I understand. But I have to tell you this: to go back to Storm and her, I Will Survive. There was a general consensus, I think, among people who watch, people on the internet, and certainly the people here in Portland, that they felt obligated to knock Storm 1 week because she's been getting such glowing reviews and because it's been a shutout so far. She's been knocking out of the park. It almost felt like it was an obligatory criticism of her. Like it just sort of came out of nowhere. Like it was a thing that they felt they had to do.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. So I could understand how it could be interpreted that way. But yeah, you know, for me, that's challenging on the show sometimes is there are, as you see on the reality sort of portions of it, there are the exact number of songs to play as there are contestants.
Right.
So, in other words, somebody's got to do, you know, I Will Survive.
Yeah.
It's a song up there, and somebody's got to do it. So I will say that sometimes I feel as though it's a challenge, you know, when you get that song. Right. When you get that song that pretty much is... you know, way outside the format and going to be a difficult song to sort of bring to Supernova.
Do they do that to screw with people, though? I mean, to screw with people is the wrong way to do it. Do they do that, though, as a challenge to people? They do that, like, as sort of a pulling the sword from the stone kind of a thing?
I will say this. There are songs from time to time, and I wonder how they expect it to be put across.
Right.
I will say that. Oh. You know, I don't think that it's a deliberate, you know, let's set you up so that you can fall on your face, because there are definitely times when people kind of, you know, pull it out of the hat. I mean, Ring of Fire, for example, Delana doing Ring of Fire.
Right.
Man, you know, if someone's gotten up and tried to do the Johnny Cash version of Ring of Fire on our show, especially after, you know, certain songs are criticized for being too country or too this or not rocking enough, and someone presented it in its original way, which is killing, but maybe wouldn't have flown. And Delana took that and, you know, made it into this completely different thing and pretty much blew the place apart.
As Tommy Lee is required to say every week, she crushed it. So. All right.
Jason, yeah, Jason is. I don't know, maybe his salary is based on the number of times he can get that phrase in.
It's like a drinking game that they're playing with themselves. All right, Nate Morton, the drummer for the house band for Rockstar Supernova. You got I know you got some other things you've done. You played with Poe, Richard Marx, Michael Bolton, Chaka Khan. You've got a website. You've got some stuff people can check out. What is your website, sir?
My website is natemorton.com. It's just my little old name.
NATEMORTON.com. All right.
Yeah, Nate Morton, NATEMORTON.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it, and I want to take this opportunity to give a little shout-out to my man Michael Vaughn, who kind of hooked this all up because...
Right on, exactly. Mike is the man. And, in fact, I owe a great... If you go to check out the website, I owe a great debt of gratitude to Mike Vaughn and to Nate Sullivan, who are actually responsible for my website. So
excellent.
They are both... Awesome.
Well, thank you, sir. Continued success. Congratulations again on being part of a great band. And everybody check out Rockstar Supernova and check out this man right there, Nate Morton on the drums. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Nate Morton, ladies and gentlemen. Rockstar Supernova house band drummer. All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, if you can just give him a little thank you. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. That guy told us a lot of stuff I didn't think he would. Good times. I thought he'd be a lot more sort of taciturn about everything. We're going to come back after this. 503-733-2970. Jim Roop coming up at 2. Local blogger Chris Neven. Oh, I can say this now. Creator of Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.com. Talk to him when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Plus snakes on a plane ticket. You say that. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. All right. We're going to go to the city desk here in just a moment. Later on, Jim Roop's going to be here to talk about the... Well, initially, it was going to be Gary Baumgarten. Here's the thing. It was going to be Gary Baumgarten about Joe Lieberman. And I think in the back of my mind, I was a little unnerved by the whole thing because the last time we tried to talk to him about Joe Lieberman, he went crazy. So, Laura Caviezel. How the hell do you pronounce her name?
Caviezel.
All right. She sort of said, well, I've got Roop about this Mel Gibson. We went, yes, done. Because I think we were just a little gun shy about the Gary Baumgarten thing. So I'll talk to Roop at 2 about Mel Gibson, who, yeah, there's some sort of thing happening there. Oh, by the way, so the rumor has it. This is only a rumor. It's unfounded speculation and the ill-evidenced gossip about another celebrity who is allegedly, again, this is simply an allegation, something that is we have heard. About someone who is in rehab in Newburgh. Anyone who guess? Anybody? Guess?
Let's call him and ask.
No.
I don't know who.
He's a male. A male film star. Anyone? You have nothing.
There are many of those.
You're
right.
Terrible at this game. How many
a male film star, terrible.
Ben
Affleck.
Every time
Matt
we play
Damon.
This... Stop. Every time we play this game...
I thought we were supposed to guess.
This is like a computer that's had all its cookies erased. Every time we play this game, I have to re-remind everybody how you play this. You ask a series of narrowing questions.
All right.
Male film star.
All right. Is he older than me?
Yes.
Much older?
Yes. I would say so.
Harrison Ford?
No.
Can you name a movie that he was in?
No, but see, that's... No, it's got to be...
I know.
It's got to be an either-or question.
Keanu Reeves?
No.
Has there ever been a Steven Spielberg movie?
I do not believe so, no. Not to the best of my knowledge.
It has to be Keanu Reeves.
Therefore, it has to be Keanu Reeves. There's no other answer.
Matthew McConaughey.
No. For the love of God, you're just playing this all wrong. Never mind, I'm not going
to
tell you now.
I don't know how to play your reindeer games, Rick.
It's funny you should say reindeer games, because... No,
oh,
I'm just screwing with you. All right, 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior, Tim Riley. He's at the Ministry of Truth.
From higher towns, the water of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth, came out of the reporting. A West Virginia airport has been evacuated, all five people.
Who wants to fly into there?
This after a suspect bottle of liquid was discovered in a passenger's carry-on luggage. The bottle was subjected to a swab test, and it tested positive for explosives. Apparently, the woman who had this thing is of Pakistani origin, looking a little different than the rest in West Virginia.
In West Virginia.
Yeah. And people say the airport is not too sophisticated, so the bomb-sniffing mule might not have been correct.
Fantastic. Excellent. There you go. Proud to traffic in Southern stereotypes.
Meanwhile, married life is bliss for actor Ashton Kutcher. Oh, could it be him? Who was sent to rehab?
Not
Ashton
about
Kutcher
the same age.
He is not much older than Sarah. I've given up. I'm not going to tell you.
Well, he tells Parade magazine that you read Sunday, apparently, that he and his better half, actress Demi Moore, quote, had one argument in the first 3 months, but since then they haven't had any.
Okay. Somebody is asking, this is how it's spelled, is it Greg Kenyer?
Oh, I bet it's Russell Crowe.
No, and you're guessing all wrong.
How am I guessing
wrong? Okay, look. Think
they have brown hair.
It's just
Jay Leno.
Stop.
Beards?
Shut your mouths. Okay, think of a male movie star.
Okay.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr.
Stop! Is he older than me?
Well, it was Robert Downey Jr., so I need to think of another
okay,
one.
Okay, so you can't guess and
who's
then tell
playing
me.
Who's playing whose game here?
Shh. Everyone be quiet. We're
okay.
Starting from scratch.
All right, I've got it.
Is this a new game?
Seriously, if anybody guesses this before Sarah does, I will give you a pair of tickets to Snakes on a goddamn plane. All right? Looking at the screen here. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do this. This is ad hoc. We're going to do this right now. Mm-hmm. You hear it now. Let me find my contesting bed. You just don't say a word. Scotty, is this in the waves folder, my contesting bed? I don't see it.
I thought he was busy looking for thumbtacks.
I love these one-sided conversations.
I'm just looking. I don't see the contesting bed. Well, fine.
Well, we can wait here in real time until we do.
You know what? This is exciting, gripping, behind-the-scenes radio. Oh, here we go. All right. This is our contesting bed. Sarah, is my computer up there?
Yes.
All right. All right. Okay, so what we're going to do
is... Am I still guessing or are you guessing?
No, we're going to alternate. We're going to alternate between you and a caller. Now, again, this is just a rumor. I don't know that this is true. This is a rumor we've heard about another celebrity who is in rehab in Newburgh. All right.
This is a happy morning show bed.
Sarah? Do you know how to do this?
Yes.
Okay, think of a male celebrity.
I thought I was thinking of your male celebrity.
Shh. Think of a male celebrity. This is for demonstration purposes.
Celebrity or actor?
Male actor.
Okay.
Okay, have you got one?
Yes.
Older than me?
Yes.
White or black?
White. That was not a yes or no question.
Well, but you can do either or questions. You just can't be like,
Chachi.
You just can't be like, you know, what are his distinguishing characteristics? Action film?
He's been in action films.
He's been in action films. Has he been in a film that we have discussed on this program recently?
How recently is recent?
Yeah.
Like, within the last... Since we've been on the air. Since
okay,
like
yes, I'm sure
months.
At some point a film that he's been in has come up on...
And he's much older than me?
Well, I don't know. How old are you?
Officially?
Is he in his 40s?
No.
Is he in his 50s?
No, I don't think so.
Older than 50?
Yeah.
No.
Is it... his music is fantastic. Is it...
I think I know who it is.
Ernest Borgnine. Is it Clint
Eastwood? I don't even know who that is. No.
I'm doing your thing now. I'm just falling into guessing who it is. All right.
And see, I didn't get mad at you.
Okay.
I accept you for who you are.
This is the best contest ever. Listen. You can hear new P1s being created as we do this. Wait, I can hear that cue.
Way to demonstrate on how to win this contest, Rick.
Shut your mouth.
Thanks for showing us how it's done.
I'm going to beat you like a mule. Scotty
Let Tim guess. I think
Scotty is complaining the music is too low.
No, it's fine.
All right. We're going to alternate back and forth. There is a male film star allegedly in rehab in Newburgh in addition to Robin Williams. We are going to alternate now. Questions. Rob, you are on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, I am.
Guess what?
Sure, I love you.
Okay,
thank you.
That's a little creepy. All right.
Well,
don't be
so creepy when it's Robin Williams.
You get one clarifying question and a guess. Go.
Robin Williams.
Okay. Okay, thank you for playing, sir. In addition to Robin Williams, which we just said like 5 seconds ago. Jeff.
My turn?
Oh. Jeff, you get one clarifying question and a guess. Go. All right.
It was my turn. That was the hand of karma.
James, you get one clarifying question and a guess. Oh, for the love of sweet holy God, everyone's calling to say Robin Williams, aren't they?
Yep.
Everyone is calling to say Robin Williams. This is the best contest we've ever done. And by best, I mean it's terrible. Tony, you are on the Rick Emerson Show. You get one clarifying question and a guess.
All right. Let's see.
Time is running out.
Didn't you think of a question before you called?
Seriously, are you just... really, you would think that before just picking up the phone and dialing, just jabbing randomly at phone buttons, you would actually have the clarifying question.
Do I get a question now?
Is it for alcohol?
Actually, they did not clarify that. They did not specify what he was in rehab for. Okay, now you get a guess.
Colin Farrell.
No, no. Good guess, but thank you. No, thank you. No.
All right. Do I get to ask now?
Yes.
You said back and
yes.
forth.
Yes. Yes.
Is this person part of a celebrity couple?
No. Not at this time, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, it's possible because I don't read the gossip rags as much as you do.
Okay. Do I get a guess now?
Yes.
Nicolas Cage.
No.
Tom Hanks.
Okay. I thought you weren't part of this.
Oh.
It's all very confusing.
He's part of a famous couple.
Mm-hmm. Willie, hello.
Hello.
Hello, sir. You get one clarifying question and a guess.
Has this person directed any movies?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, then I just lost my guess because I was going to say Mel Gibson.
That would be wrong, sir.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Or Ron Howard.
Thank you.
All right, has he been in any movies recently?
Nothing leaps to mind. I mean, recently within, like, the last year or so, but there's nothing like, he had no big release, like, within, you know, since we've been on the air.
Tommy Lee Jones.
No. All right, Troy, hello, sir.
Yes.
All right, you get one clarifying question and a guess.
Did he used to be on TV?
Yes.
Tim Allen.
No.
Oh,
but thank you.
He used to be on
Troy.
TV.
See, that's a clarifying guess. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about right there. Sarah?
Okay,
it's your turn.
Used to be on TV.
Time is slipping away. Five.
Stop it.
Four.
Stop. Is he, wait, how old, was he a lot older than me?
Older than
remember.
You.
Okay, is he white?
Yes.
On TV.
We're talking
Tim
about
Allen
a,
is really good.
A celebrity who is allegedly now in rehab in Newburgh, and it's not Robin Williams.
Don,
Knotts.
Yes.
No.
Oh.
He's dead.
No, not Don Knotts. Who's the guy in Miami Vice?
You said Don Knotts. That was your guess.
No, it's Don.
It's too late. TJ?
Yes.
You're on the Rick Emerson
right.
show.
I think I am.
Yes, he is.
You're on the Rick Emerson show, TJ. You get a clarifying question and a guess, sir.
All right. Was it an 80s TV show?
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No. Okay, what 80s TV show is Leonardo DiCaprio in?
He was on the one with the Christian kid now. Who does
Leonardo
all...
DiCaprio was on Growing Pains?
He was on Growing Pains.
Oh, like I'm just supposed to know that, you sons of bitch, you jackals.
All right, Tim gets my turn.
All right, hold on. That's it. TJ, thank you, sir. All right. Tim Riley.
David Hasselhoff.
No.
Oh, no.
No. Like I wouldn't have just said it's David Hasselhoff. All right. Chris Neaton called.
Well, we can hold
hung up again. We'll get to him in just a moment. I have to do
this. Is the greatest news ever.
It really is. Frank, we're talking about this is for Snake on a Plane tickets. We're talking about a celebrity allegedly now who is now in rehab in Newburgh, who is not Robin Williams. You get a clarifying question and a guess. Go.
Okay, is this TV show on now?
No. Well, no. I mean, not. Yeah, I mean, in reruns probably.
It's in reruns.
Yeah.
Ooh. Let's see. Shoot.
It's gripping.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're done.
I'm lost.
No, okay. Right. Thank you, sir.
Conrad Bain.
All right. Conrad Bain. We're going to come back to it. We're going to move on right now.
Let me just guess one more.
Fine. Oh, wait, hold on. All right. Okay.
Was the television show that he was on a comedy?
Yes, I would say so.
Oh, you would say so?
I would say so. It was largely comedic in tone, yes.
Jerry Seinfeld?
And we're done. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, is this Chris Sneathan? Scotty? Can you, all right. It's not? Who's calling on the Sneathan line if it's not Chris Sneathan? That line is specifically set aside to be the Sneathan line. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right, it is him. Thank you. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, local Portland blogger. And we've been asked, legally speaking, to refer to you. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. So for legal reasons, we will refer to you only as local blogger, Chris Neven.
Very good.
How are you doing, sir?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know why? Because tonight is Snakes on an MFing Plane.
Oh, baby, I got my ticket. I'm going to be there.
That's what I'm talking about. 8 hours and 15 minutes from now, we're going to be at the Century Eastport, the 16. All right, so let's talk about this website that you have set up. We were talking about this morning. You have created now, within the last 24 hours, I didn't think you could create a website that quickly these days. I thought it took several days for all of these,
It was a lot of work last night, actually. It took me, 4 or 5 hours to get everything up and running to where people can actually log on and...
So this is the website.
Read my musings.
This is Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.com.
You are correct.
Which is fantastic. And it says cleansing rocks undercarriage.
Absolutely.
All right. So tell us now, you were at Dante's the other night and you explained this on the blog, but the blog occurred to you. Why?
Well, I was sitting there and Brooke Burke had said something about, this is going to be a stripped down evening or the artists are going to be stripped back or something like that. Then the camera goes back to Navarro, and he's taking his shirt off, and it was one of those hokey, stupid 70s, 60s comedy moments where it was like, oh, I thought everyone was taking their clothes off, and it was at that moment that I knew that I had to do something.
You knew that he had just gone, because you were going on this rant about how you saw him kind of back in the day with Jane's Addiction. And...
Well, yeah, I saw him back in, 91 or so at University of Portland. He was there with Jane's Addiction, and they were playing with the Pixies and Primus and, woo, that sort of thing. this is a band that was important in the late 80s and early 90s, who would have thought that it would be Dave Navarro that we'd remember from that band and Perry Farrell would just sort of slip off the face of the earth.
And there's nothing worse than when a guy who you thought was cool turns out to be just a complete and utter knob.
Oh, God.
I mean, just some guy, and you're like, yeah, I had posters of that guy, or I went to that guy's show, and he was rocking, and then you just see him, and he's just a tool, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, and I was not a Jane's Addiction fan, but I mean, I do recognize that they have all, that they were an important band, and they were sort of, they've established their place in the street cred pantheon and so forth.
Right.
And then it's like, and then he's just such a sleazy a-hole on that television program. You know what I mean?
And that's, one of the things I'm going to start wondering, I think, out loud on the blog is, was he always a sleazy tool or is this a recent thing?
I believe he was always a sleazy tool, but that it just, I mean, that, it, I think really what it is that at base, all guys who get into rock and roll are all basically the same type. That was always my big problem.
The bottom line is everyone gets into a band to meet chicks.
Right, and that was always my problem with Kurt Cobain is I always felt like he had this veneer of like hipster detachment, blah, 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 when really he was a guy who just wanted to sit home and do drugs and marry like another celebrity, and which is not really groundbreaking in any way. And so I think that's what they're all kind of like. So if people go to Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.com, you got some postings. People can people can comment, right?
They can leave comments. I'm going to be getting home tonight, and as part of my ritual, getting ready for Snakes on an MF and Plane, I'm going to be blogging tonight what happened last night on Supernova, because I wasn't able to watch because I was trying to get this thing up and running.
Fantastic.
And let me tell you, it's fun calling into tech support to a nationally known web service provider, and they ask you, well, what website are you having trouble with? And you have to, Dave Navarro is a douche.com. And I just referred to it as the Dave Navarro situation and told him what a big fan I was, and then it was okay. So.
That's fantastic. Excellent. All right, ladies and gentlemen, local blogger Chris Sneven, he has created Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.com. What I'd like to do is I'd like to just have this site run for a while and then just get a screenshot or something and then just overnight it to him. Just send it to him in FedEx, a package, something physical that you know he'll open and look at.
Exactly.
All right.
We will do that.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rick.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, local blogger Chris Sneven, creator of Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.com. You can go there now. It's 503-733-2. Tim has just left the room. 503-733-2970. Sketch to a couple more of these before we go back to the city desk. talking about a local, well, not a local, but a male celebrity who is rumored to have checked into rehab in Newburgh, who is not Robin Williams. We are alternating back and forth between clarifying guesses by Sarah and clarifying guesses by callers. The winner gets a pair of tickets to Snakes on an MFing plane. Richard, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Is he follically challenged like you?
Yes.
Burt Reynolds.
No, I thought you had it there for a moment. Burt Reynolds is not.
Oh, man.
Burt Reynolds is not follically challenged.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen his rugs?
No.
Oh, well, you should look at it sometime.
So I can see my future.
Yes.
Out before me like a big, shiny, flesh-colored highway.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. Sarah Dillon.
Is it Bruce Willis?
It is Bruce Willis. It is Bruce Willis. All right, there you go. All right, thank you.
In your face, Rick Emerson.
Finally, well, no,
clarifying question.
I'm amazed.
I just asked the question. All I do is ask who it is.
I'm amazed that it took that long, frankly.
So he's in Newburgh?
Well, the rumor is that he's checked himself into rehab in Newburgh. Now, again, I don't know that that is true. It is simply a rumor that we have heard.
He actually dated Brooke Burke for a while there.
Really?
No, no, the other Brooke. Who's the blonde one, the other... She's, never mind.
Brooke nope. Somebody. He's not part of a celebrity couple now, is he?
No.
Burt Reynolds, I said Bruce Willis. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. That was the best contest ever. Let's do that every day.
That was fun, wasn't it? From Hiawatha, one of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth, a convicted Portland area sex offender who advertised for teenage models on the so-called Craigslist has been arrested for allegedly having sex with an underage girl.
What a big surprise.
He's 36-year-old Douglas Stephen French. The preliminary investigation shows that Mr. French, not the same one who's on Family Affair,
seducing them with his gigantic beard and portly physique.
Took Mrs. Beasley to his apartment.
I would have pegged him for more of a Buffy man.
At 12616 Southwest Barnes Road, we say that so people can be aware. Detectives have evidence of at least one unnamed female victim and more to come.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at the female victims. I'm laughing at the image of Sebastian Cabot seducing women via Craigslist.
He's dead.
Yes. He's not in rehab. No. Todd the Corp says, about rehab, Rick, is the spinner for the Game of Life in rehab? How about one of those doorstop things? Is it in rehab? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for Darwin Watch.
Here's your Darwin Watch. Oh,
so
is
bad.
This?
Stuff is about
it's a
to
double.
Go down.
Oh. I have two here.
Oh, no, this is fantastic.
Get off my cap.
This is really fantastic.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't. Another one busts the dust.
Another one bites the dust.
And another one
goes.
And another one
goes.
Another one bites the dust.
Hey. Ow! My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
All right, we should lead with this one.
Okay, we have two here.
Do you want to go out? You know, you don't want to lead with your right. By the way, one of these Darwin watches was sent to me. I would guess probably 50 times over the course of the last 24 hours, which is how, as Tom Likas would say, anytime 50 people forward you something, you know it's gold. So we'll lead up to that though. Here is part the first of the Darwin watch.
Well, a Brazilian man died on Tuesday when he tried to open what police believe was a rocket-propelled grenade with a sledgehammer in a mechanical workshop in the outskirts of Rio de Janeiro.
That's like the end of that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's sitting there and he's hitting the missiles with a hammer and then he's writing dummy and he's, it's a living. That's totally what that is.
Another man who was in the workshop at the time of the explosion was rushed to a hospital with severe burns. The workshop was destroyed. Several cars parked outside caught fire. Police found several unexploded Army-issue rocket-propelled grenades in the workshop. They believe the ammunition had been brought to them by scavengers wanting to sell them for scrap metal.
Why would you choose to open that with a sledgehammer?
That is a good question.
I mean, really, why? Mm-hmm. It seems like there are many, many other implements. If you got a sledgehammer, you've probably got like an awl or something. It seems like when you use that. That's only an overture. That is just the appetizer. For this, see if you can pick out the key word in this story that got it sent to me like 50 times. By the way, this second half of the Darwin watch you're going to read, the key word in this story is one of my Google News alert keywords. So I get a little alarm on my screen, like a little bell comes up and it says like ding, 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 ding. Whenever a story containing this word comes across the wire.
A Kenosha man is killed in a wood chipper mishap. This comes to us from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Pleasant Prairie.
We need Garrison Keillor to be reading this.
Seriously. And sometimes the word mishap just doesn't do a story justice. You know what I mean? The mishap probably does not convey the gravity of the situation, I would think.
So this happened in the little wood chipper on the prairie. Federal health and safety officials.
A little wood chipper that could.
The federal health and safety officials of this fine state are probing the death of a Kenosha Tree Service owner who was pulled through a wood chipper in an apparent accident.
Oh, feet first.
Dead is 50-year-old Jeremiah Sanders, who owned Jay's Quality Tree Service. He was killed shortly after 5 Tuesday during work at a property. The police chief, Brian Wagner, said that according to witnesses, Saunders was using his foot to move a piece of wood that got jammed in the chipper when his foot became entangled in the intake.
Would you like to use a rake for that? No, I'll just use my foot. It'll be fine.
Sanders was then pulled into and through the chipper.
Pulled into and through.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Co-workers attempted to stop the chipper, but you know what happens when these things happen. The switch does not work. Even if you unplug it, it still runs.
It's like maximum overdrive all over again. That's like that story the other day about the five guys who died in the sewage pit trying to save the one dude.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, look, and you know I love you all. Tim, Sarah, you know I have warm feelings for all of you.
Mm-hmm.
One of you gets pulled into a wood chipper, I'm not helping. I'm not gonna be getting anywhere near that. I'm just gonna be trying to avoid the Gallagher-style spray. That's all that it is. And you, I mean, my question is, I have many questions about this, actually. I'm trying to visualize a wood chipper in my head. And of course, the only one that I can ever really visualize is the one from Fargo. Because that's just kind of, you know, that's the high watermark of wood chipper deaths in pop culture. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if this guy's running a tree, whatever, mulching service, and what an unpleasant word that is when you think about your feet, mulching.
Oh.
But the intake for the wood chipper is on top, is it not? Isn't that how they typically, I mean, you wouldn't have a wood chipper where the intake was like on the side or something.
No, it would be on top.
That's going to be one of those things where the kid's coming by on the bicycle and, you know, that's all going to end badly. So he actually physically had to get on top and above of a wood, he had to get above a wood chipper that was operating, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, that's not a thing where you're walking, it's not like catching your pant leg in a bike chain. That's not where you're just sort of, you happen to stray too close to the equipment one day and like a combine and it just sort of grabs part of you. That is literally where you're watching a thing that has huge rotary crushing and mincing blades
mm-hmm.
that are strong enough to destroy logs, which is fed from the top. It then snags, so it's like a big paper shredder basically.
Yeah.
He actually then had to get above it and decide to stick his foot into the intake valve. Not seeing, like at no point in his head did the mental flowchart end in him coming out in a Smucker's jar. At no point. All right, there you go. Do they have anything about the, let me see this.
Mm-hmm. There's gotta be an investigation.
Oh, you'll be happy to know that OSHA investigators are on the scene, though. So there.
It could take several months to get the results.
There you go. Here's a great email. Wood chipper Google image search. Please click here. No, I don't think so. There's your Darwin watch for Thursday.
Don't. Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, my God. I've got the worst phrase. Todd the Corpse has sent me an alternate version of this story. By which, you know, just the story repeated in a different newspaper where they write a little...
Yes.
Containing a phrase that was not in the one we just read. Who wants to hear it?
Not me.
Yeah, you do. Rick, the best... Listen to how great this email is. It's like one level of great after another.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of the wood chipper death story is that the cause of his death was, quote... total... morselization. The only other time you usually hear the word morsel is when you buy moist, chunky cat food. You don't really think of it as the way you're going to end up at the end of your life. Good times. All right, is that Jim Roop? Fantastic. All right, we'll come back with Jim Roop. More tickets to Snakes on an MFing Plane. What else? Oh, we haven't. We actually still haven't done the Rockstar Recap from last night, have we? We were talking to Nate Morton from the band. We are doing the Rockstar Recap, and a DJ goes crazy. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio.